postseason football, you need to find that extra gear. On FanDuel, it's called playoff mode. Big boosts, more rewards, and a whole new way to live parlay with Drive SGP. Turn on playoff mode, only on FanDuel.
New customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit RG-help.com.
Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath remodel is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Use digital tools to visualize flooring in your space and find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
Kraft Mac and Cheese is better than 90s hip-hop. We'll remind you of your childhood without making you feel incredibly old. Kraft Mac and Cheese. Best thing ever.
Anybody, anywhere,
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
This is Take Command with Logan Paulson, who spent a decade in the NFL. I'm Grant Paulson. Watch us on YouTube, 106.7 Team 980 YouTube channels. Subscribe to this podcast and get the audio wherever you get your pods. Listen, rate, review, comment, do all that stuff. It all helps us a ton. We think we give you a little different perspective with Logan's insight and analysis into the tape on this pod. So there is an offensive coordinator hire to talk about. The new OC for the Washington Commanders, a late Friday evening news dump of sorts, David Blau, the assistant quarterbacks coach the last 2 years in the building under Cliff Kingsbury. He finished the year, in fact, as their quarterbacks coach. That's a Rooney Rule hire, so you couldn't name him the quarterbacks coach because they had to interview some people outside of the building first, but he was the de facto interim QB's coach when Tavita Pritchard left. But if you look at it, he went from assistant quarterbacks coach in November to quarterbacks coach in December to NFL offensive coordinator in January. And Logan, we talked a lot about options here. We felt like if you're Dan Quinn, you only get one more crack at this. You got to hit a home run. And I was saying it's very likely he's just going to try to put the ball in the fairway here and just kind of, you know, lay up a little bit. This is risky. This is ballsy, I think. This is, you know, high risk, high reward, because they're going with a guy who's never been an offensive coordinator, never been a play caller, but a guy they really like in their building.
Yeah, I think this is one of the ones where you kind of got to defer to the person and how they know the person, the staff, because like on paper, there's not a lot of things where you're like that pop to you, right? Like he's never called plays. He's never installed an offense. And those things give me a little bit of consternation when talking about the hire specifically. But again, you know, no one's going to know him better than Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and this staff. And the rumor is that he's an extremely talented young man who knows how to relate to the players at a high level. So I think that this is something that, again, you're betting on the person. You know, like when you're talking about, you know, angel investing for small businesses or whatever, like you're betting on the person, you're betting on the individual. And I think that's what we're getting a little bit of here. And again, they've known him for, what is that, 2 years now, 3 years now? So they have a good grasp of who and what he is. And I think that's an important part of this equation that, again, like you and I are not going to be able to comment on fully because, again, we don't know him in a professional capacity.
David Blau, just to give a little background on who he is 30 years old. He will turn 31 during training camp, so he's a young guy. Again, a first-time coordinator. He was a quarterback in the NFL as recently as in training camp just a couple of years ago. He last started a game in the league in 2022. In fact, in his career, he started 7 games and he played in 9 games as a quarterback, spent 3 years in Detroit with the Lions, and then the final year of his career playing the last 2 starts under Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. That's where their relationship comes from. His lead mentors, or I would say influences, to use like a band term, I guess, would probably be Ben Johnson in Detroit, who he played under, Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, who he was a backup with. He's talked a lot about the O'Connell offense. And then you'd have to say Cliff as well, having obviously got his first job under Cliff, worked with him for 2 years and started two of his seven career games for Cliff Kingsbury as well. A couple other interesting notes about him. He is actually married to, I believe, Melissa Gonzalez is the name, an Olympian, a sprinter. But this is Christian Gonzalez of the New England Patriots' sister. And there was this viral, amazing Hard Knocks video segment years ago where he was in the room with the Lions teammates all sitting around watching her try to qualify for the Olympics, which she successfully did. But that's a pretty cool nugget as well. But his brother-in-law is actually one of the great young cornerbacks in the NFL, in Christian Gonzalez. What do you make of his mentors like Ben Johnson, Cliff Kingsbury, Kevin O'Connell, and how that could impact what we end up seeing him put together offensively?
Yeah, I think you're going to get, you know, I think there was like this this rumor coming out of the building that, you know, there was a little bit of a disagreement between Dan, Adam, whoever was involved, and Cliff in terms of running the football more. And when you look at two of those three offenses, the O'Connell offense and the Ben Johnson offense, obviously they're are very much in the vein of Kyle Shanahan. I know Ben Johnson's not directly correlated or doesn't have a direct line to Kyle Shanahan, but the principles, man, like, are really, really strong. We're going to run the football. We're going to set up play action pass. We're going to be in like formations. We're going to be under center, and we're going to find these play action chunks. And then again, we're going to have a very well thought out third down game plan. But I think the diversity of the run game is something that pops in both systems. And then the diversity of the play action pass, keeper, bootleg, waggle type game is very, very high in terms of opportunities to kind of strike the football down the middle and in that third level of the defense. So, again, like, I like that. I like all, you know, if you said we're going to get a guy from the O'Connell, Ben Johnson tree and with a touch of Cliff Kingsbury, I'd say, man, that's excellent. Those are three really brilliant offensive minds. And, again, like, probably – you know, three of the guys kind of in the top 10 of the NFL, I'd say. So there's a lot to be excited there in terms of his exposure to offense. And I guess it'll just be interesting to see, like, how you kind of meld that with Cliff and meld that with Jaden. I think, like, one of the reasons I'm assuming he gets retained is because of his relationship with Jaden, which is an important part of this thing, right? Maybe the most important part of the thing is how comfortable Jaden is. But Jaden was in a spread offense at LSU. He's in a spread offense here under Cliff. And so how much of this other systems, this like Kyle Shanahan West Coast, I'll call it, do you bring in here to Washington with Jaden Daniels' comfort level, what it was with the previous offense?
Yeah, I want to go back to like the building of the offense and kind of melding those three philosophies together in a minute. But I think let's overturn the other stones here on how we got to David Blough, because lest we forget, I mean, the name that everybody was talking about was Mike McDaniel. Everybody seemed to think that could be the home run. That kind of happened in the 24 hours leading up to Blough, whether that was fair or not. That became, I think, the expectation. And I continued to hear, hold your horses on that, man. Like, Blough is still very much a favorite for this job, or someone they don't want out of the building. Detroit had reached out. They wanted to talk to Blough about their OC job. I think there's a really good chance he would have gotten that gig. If not promoted here, by the way, there are a bevy of teams that could have made him a pass game coordinator if they weren't willing to make him an OC and a play caller, because it is a pretty significant jump, obviously. But this is a guy that was going to get calls, was going to get interest. So how did we get here? I've got a handful of reasons why I think they went with Blough, and I want to get your kind of rapid fire reactions to each of those. So the first thing I think is the relationship with Jaden Daniels. You just referenced this. You went away from Cliff Kingsbury. That is the only offense Daniels has known for 2 years. He's comfortable in it. You probably want something that helps to smooth that transition, and I think this does that. You're not going to go 0 to 100 out of Cliff's offense, right? Maybe you don't run as much tempo or as much no huddle or as much shotgun, or, you know, do some of the Cliffy things at 100. Maybe you turn them down to 50. And maybe Cliff wasn't willing to do that, but a David Blough, who's got some other paradigms and philosophies, might be willing to. So you could see that as a strength. Like, if Daniels, just from a scheme standpoint, was really comfortable and liked what you did with Cliff, maybe having some of that carry over with Blough is actually a good thing in terms of easing the transition. We've talked about how hard it is to learn a new offense. Well, if you just go from Cliff to McDaniel, that is a stark, significant contrast, right? Whereas going to Blau might cushion that blow. And the other part of the Daniels relationship element is not even scheme related. Daniels has lost some real confidence in the building. And with Cliff leaving, he was not happy about that from what I was told. But on top of that, you've got like Brian Johnson, who may or may not be back, who gets bypassed by Blau. You've got Tavita Pritchard, who's been his boy the last couple of years, who's now at Stanford. Who knows if Sam Hartman is back after they didn't play him at the end of the year. I'm not saying you have to make every decision based on Daniels, but it would also be malpractice if you don't make some decisions based on his comfort and his betterment and his, you know, ability to feel like, you know, he's got people he can learn with and confide in. So I just think that the rapport with Daniels, who Blau is close with, was huge, as well as the transition out of Cliff gets a little bit smoother maybe with Blau. That had to be a factor.
No, I think you're 100% right. And I think it's, again, it's an important thing you want to consider, obviously. I think Jaden Daniels, in the grand scheme of things, is maybe the most important variable in getting them back to the playoffs in 2026. So, again, you want him to be as comfortable as possible. But, again, this is where, you know, again, you're trying to parse out information. I'm trying to parse out information like everybody else, right? You want him to be comfortable. Obviously, David Blau provides that comfort. But you also want the offense to change. So how can you kind of walk that line, toe that line? What version of the offense are you going to run? And I just think about it from a verbiage standpoint. And again, like this is, like you said, this is an important variable, making sure Jaden Daniels is comfort. And now I get into the next element, which is how do you get that done, right? Are you kind of combining Cliff's offense with, you know, Ben Johnson's offense or Kevin O'Connell's offense just as points of comparison? I think that becomes challenging, because if the verbiage you've been in the last 2 years is this, you know, air raid spread offense, like one of the things that characterizes that offense, you know, I'm going to call it spread because air raid, I think, is derivative and has a negative connotation. But this spread offense is, you're going to be limited in terms of verbiage. Like, think about the limited motion looks that they did, or under center looks, or the limited number of runs they had. Like, the install is going to increase pretty dramatically. And how do you do that? Do you stay in Cliff's offense? Do you transition to a new language? If you're transitioning to a new language like Ben Johnson or Kevin O'Connell, you might as well just kind of scrap the Cliff thing and go back to traditional West Coast verbiage. So I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see how they handle keeping Jaden Daniels comfortable. Obviously, the person, the individual, is a huge element of that, right? Like, you want to have a good relationship, but it's more than that. It's more nuanced than that. It's more layered than that. And I think that's the thing that I really can't wait to see, because, you know, I've installed offenses at a high school level, which is, a thousand times easier than doing it at the NFL level. And that comes with a lot of challenges, right? A lot of verbiage challenges, a lot of communication things, a lot of system things that need to be built and understood, especially if you're going from a relatively simple offense to a more complicated offense. So that's the thing that I'm kind of keeping an eye on here, is how do you keep the comfort of the player while also getting the offensive structure that you're looking for? Again, like Dan, Adam, whoever, you know, I think Dan specifically wants more of a run first kind of mentality, run play action pass kind of mentality. That's a different perspective, right? So whatever we're going to do, Jaden's going to be doing something different. And I think like that difference is something that is going to be really interesting to see how they manage that, going from a simple offense to a more complicated verbiage.
I want to get into, again, the building of the scheme with you in a few minutes, which we can tackle well, I think, on this pod in a way maybe that a lot of people can't, because you've done it at the high school level and you've been a part of it at the NFL level as a player for a long time. Two other things I wanted to bring up in terms of maybe why Blau or how they got here. The first is, in talking to people over there and around the team, you know, when McDaniel became very popular as a name, I think they didn't want to wait to see if he could be their guy. Because not only could you lose Blau, as we talked about, go back to when they hired Eric Bieniemy with Ron Rivera a few years ago. If you remember, they kind of got left holding the bag. They were the last team in that search to make a hire. I'm not saying they didn't want Bieniemy, but I am saying they were the last team. He was kind of the last guy kicking around in that cycle. I don't think they wanted to risk the possibility of McDaniel, who's got his first head coaching interview coming up with the Titans on Wednesday. There will be others, by the way. I know the Browns will be interviewing him. I think other teams could get involved in that. There could still be teams dismissing coaches we don't even know about, and a quarter of the league has openings at this point, and this is an offensive savant. So there's a very real chance he becomes a head coach again this year. But if he doesn't, he is going to be a coordinator this year. Now, Washington's job is really good because you have Jaden Daniels, you would presume. because he has a relationship with Dan Quinn, who helped get him out of alcoholism, which is a very serious thing. And they're very, very close, and they're just tight in life and on the football field. Well, guess what? That makes Washington a landing spot. But is it better than Detroit, where you're going to call plays for Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam LaPorta and Jahmyr Gibbs? I don't think it necessarily is. You know, is it better than Baltimore? If you know, Robert Saleh, who he's also very close with, who has a great relationship with McDaniel, if he gets the head coaching job in Baltimore and you're going to work with multi-time MVP Lamar Jackson, could you say that, you know, that's a better job than Washington? So I think they were worried about the possibility that you wait. It takes weeks, not days. They wanted to move pretty quickly here to get someone they really liked. And that was a fear of theirs. The last thing is they really, really liked Blau. Now, whether that means he's ready to be an OC or not, I'm just telling you guys, and Logan, you know this probably better than I do, the amount of times over the last year and a half I've heard people rave about the ascension of David Blau, the import of David Blau, even plays like the touchdown of Zacchaeus against the Eagles comes to mind, but others that like he either helped draw up or call or said, hey, let's do this. Like they have given him his flowers a bunch and they really like him. I say that to say that when you pair that with, you cannot mistake how important Dan Quinn's past is to this. He has talked for 2 years about the biggest mistake he made in Atlanta being like letting these young guys he really liked offensively walk out of the building. When Kyle Shanahan got a job, Matt LaFleur and Mike McDaniel and all these dudes left him. And he said, yeah, go do your thing. I'll find a guy I like. And he got Sarkisian in there, and it backfired in a big, big way. He has brought that up like 30 times as the biggest mistake of his career, essentially, that derailed him. So here he is at the same crossroads, in a sense, where like it would have been a hire that people thought was way too early to give Matt LaFleur that OC job in Atlanta. People would have laughed at him if he named Mike McDaniel his OC. He didn't.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
He did the quote-unquote safer thing, and he kicked himself for years. So now you're going, all right, I'm going to take some heat for this Blau thing, and it's going to be ballsy and risky, but I really think he could be good. Or I could do something a little safer. And they feel like, last thing on McDaniel, he would have been one and done. That they think he would have been in here, come home, come and gone, whereas they think Blau's a multi-year solution. Even if it goes great, it's hard to believe anybody's given David Blau a head coaching job a calendar year after he was an assistant quarterbacks. So this is, let's say it goes brilliantly, Logan, like a two-year, three-year plan maybe, as opposed to a one-and-done with McDaniel to get a head coaching job. So for all of those reasons for people listening, I think those are some of the reasons. If you're surprised, I get it. I think McDaniel would have been a home run. He was certainly at the very top of my list. But it's why I do not dislike what they've done with Blau. It's hard not to be exciting with a high ceiling, you know, really ascending 30-year-old offensive mind.
No, I'm with you. And I do think the timetable for Mike McDaniel was a huge factor here. Because, again, there's no guarantee that he comes here, right? There's other opportunities, other jobs that I think he probably feels pretty fantastic about. I think he did a great job laying those out. So I understand the urgency with which they had to move here to make the Blau hire. I also think, like you said, like there's no part of me that doesn't doubt that David Blau isn't super talented. There's no part of me, right? Because again, there's enough of these reports, like you're talking about the play versus Philly, how Jaden Daniels responds to him, how competitive he is, how tough he is mentally, like the grinder that he brings, or the grind mentality that he brings to the offense, right? And I think the other point you brought up, which is fantastic, is the really talented offensive staff he had there in Atlanta, and how everybody he let out the building. The other thing, again, I can't help myself in these moments because it is unconventional. This is an unconventional hire in terms of the how soon it happened. I look at it and I say to myself, like, yeah, it would have been great if you would have hired Matt LaFleur in Atlanta. But was Matt LaFleur ready to call plays then? And maybe he needed to be fired. Maybe he needed different management. Maybe he needed a different approach, right? Like, I think about Sean McVay, right, and how important Jay Gruden was in his development. Like, Sean was one of the smartest people that I've ever been around, right? But you to have the insulation and the scaffolding of someone a little bit more experienced on the staff, I also think is important. And so I do think, like, yes, you want to draw comparisons and say, oh, this is exactly like Atlanta with Mike McDaniels, with Kyle Shanahan, with Matt LaFleur, all those guys, uber talented, uber smart guys. And obviously they've been great head coaches and at the innovation of offensive football over the last, what, decade? So again, like, I understand the regret there, but I also look at this and say to myself, like, sometimes, like, I remember talking to Kyle about this. Like, he was like, I'm not ready to be a head coach. I'm not ready for these steps because I need more time to learn the NFL. I need more time to learn other position coaches that I could hire, to build my Rolodex of coaches that I want to be a part of this thing, to really identify and cement my coaching style. And it's just, it's happened so quickly. Like, sometimes the adversity of firing or moving on, like, is something that is really important and impactful for coaches to learn from.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I want to double down on the fact, I keep coming back to home base on this. I'm presenting why I am excited about it and think it's high upside and could work out well.
Yeah.
It is incredibly risky. Like, it is not a safe call. It could get you fired if it doesn't go well. In fact, I texted with someone in the NFL after the hire who knows David Blau pretty well. And actually thinks he's going to be like this really good coordinator eventually. And they're like, dude, the only thing I'm going to say is, like, every time I've ever been with someone really young in that role, it takes time. Okay. And I think back to Sean McVay in like 2015, maybe it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And it's like, it was not just this seamless thing. Sean will tell you it took a little while. In 2014, it was actually.
Yeah. 14.
We struggled. Cousins got benched. They kind of bounced around between quarterbacks. And it wasn't really until 15 that they found their rhythm. And the point was that they made, I just hope they're patient with him and they kind of give him some time. It can take a couple seasons. I don't think they're going to have that luxury, if I'm being very honest. Like, I think this is kind of a make or break year for Quinn. I think getting off to a fast start is paramount. I'm not even saying that's how it should be. I just feel like after this year, with the tenor of everything, that's how it is. So based on that, this is really, really risky. And I totally understand why people go, wow, assistant quarterbacks coach to play caller when you've never done it is insane. I'm not even telling you you're wrong. These are just the reasons why I think they're willing to roll the dice that I am presenting. I want to get into with you next, Logan, and I'll tee you up and kind of shut up. But I want to hear more about how you build this offense. Or, like, this guy doesn't have an offense currently at all.
Right.
He's building it from scratch. So how does that even work? Now, let's talk about that next on Take Command.
Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.